And now we're speaking with Jeffrey Morris, and Jeffrey is the editor and publisher of the Barrhaven Independent, a newspaper based in Nepean, Ontario. Some of our listeners may remember that we've been covering the war in South Ossetia involving Russia and Georgia for the past few weeks now. Well, the Barrhaven Independent published a very unique article by a South Ossetian woman, Medina Gusalti. Medina researches South Ossetian culture and history, and she was visiting a friend in Canada when the war over South Ossetia broke out. So the Barrhaven Independent picked up this story and published Medina's viewpoint about how South Ossetians and the South Ossetian culture has been under threat from Georgian aggression. And of course, you can see this excellent article by going to www.barrhavenindependent.on.ca. So that's Barrhaven, barrhavenindependent.on.ca, or just Google that, and the article's right there on the front page in a nicely laid out PDF file. So we're going to speak with Jeffrey Morris on how this article came to be.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks very much for coming on the show with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Brendan, and thanks for covering this story. We think it's really special.
We love speaking with Canadian media, local Ontario media especially, so this is a particular honor to have you on the show today. Now, of course, your newspaper published a very interesting article about Medina, with her writing the article, and it just seems a bit unlikely that a woman so recently out of South Ossetia should come and write for an Ontario newspaper just after this conflict occurred. So could you tell me how this very interesting story landed at your newspaper?
Well, it was one of those bizarre things that just falls into your lap. It can't be any more random than what had happened. Barrhaven, for the people in your listening area that don't know, is a suburb of Ottawa. We're kind of South Nepean, very much what we call an Edward Scissorhands type neighborhood, where it's just residential and people empty out of here all at the same time at 7:15 a.m. And Medina had been working on her PhD at the University of Hamburg, and her next door neighbor was a person from Barrhaven who was over there studying as well, and they became very close. And she was in the community visiting, and we're connected because the family of the person she's visiting are advertisers with us, and it was just one of those, oh, by the way, we have a guest from Russia, and we got a chance to meet her, and as fate would have it, she's from Ossetia, right where the war and the conflict was happening, and we all had dinner together, and she told us the most riveting story I've ever heard about what someone had just gone through, and it was probably about 3 days after it happened. The attacks occurred on the first day of the Olympics, and they actually occurred while she was on the plane on her way over here. So she told us this wrenching, riveting story. We had heard something on CNN briefly about the attacks that were made against the people from Ossetia by the Georgian military, but they were quickly kind of dismissed and buried and swept under the rug, and I have never seen these attacks reported on by the national Canadian media. It was only the U.S. media, and then it was buried for a while, and then the story started reappearing when Gorbachev did an interview on CNN and started talking about it. And so news is getting out. It is news in Europe, but it's for the most part gone under the radar here, and it's a shame. And we saw it as a great opportunity to tell a story of wow, here's someone right in our community that's just gone through something that most people could never even imagine in their lifetimes going through, and here she is to share the experience with us.
Well, it must have come even as a surprise to her on the plane. So how did she feel about sharing this story with your newspaper?
She was in a little bit of disbelief that we would actually cover it, because, you know, her experiences and the experiences of the Ossetian people when they've gone through some of the brutalities that they faced is that the media generally ignores them, and she was like, oh well, you know, certainly you wouldn't print this, and certainly whether we had the courage to was one thing that she was very concerned about it, but I told her no, this is a story that has to be told, and it really is something. It's another side of this conflict that we're not getting. Every daily media report that we get, every news clip we get on CBC, or every, you know, like, take a look at the cover of Maclean's magazine 2 weeks ago. There was Putin on the cover, looking like a, you know, he may as well have been Darth Putin. I mean, he's looked upon as a menacing invader, and this is just a side of the story that's a lot more human, and it's the other side of it, and it's a story that, for some reason, you know, as a journalist, you're trained to see both sides of a story, and this story is not being treated upon by both sides. So we decided to run this fairly one-sided story, but only because this side of the story has never been released in the North American media, and also because there is very much a human community element, because this girl is a guest in our community, and you know, everybody's going about their business, going to, you know, Walmart and Home Depot and Canadian Tire, and meanwhile this girl who might be standing in line in front of you at the checkout counter is, you know, her family's going through a genocide right now, something you couldn't imagine in the 21st century.
With the one-sided coverage we've been facing here in North America, she must have been pleasantly surprised that you would speak with her and be willing to interview her or have an article on this. I spoke with her briefly, and she's very new at the English language. She speaks five languages. She's quite an accomplished linguist. How did you go about writing the article if she's pretty new to the English language?
She actually wrote the article in German, and then she and her friend worked on translating it, and then we worked a lot on the three of us together on getting the article, getting what she wanted to say across. Like, the first thing for her was, the first step was just to get her thoughts on paper, regardless of what language it's in. And then we worked on you know, nothing translates directly, so we worked on really expressing what she wanted to say and what she was feeling in English rather than German. And I'll tell you what, it took longer to do the story this way than if it would have had we just written it in English, but I think that it's more authentic this way. And we wanted to, what we wanted to do was emotionally, we wanted the reader to kind of get inside of her soul, so to say, to use a cheesy metaphor, just to really grasp what she was going through and how she felt about these attacks and the fact that her family was, her family's home was bombed and she suffered a loss while she was on the plane over here.
This is something that's probably new for both you and Medina. I imagine as a community newspaper, you probably don't do a lot of international stories like this. And she expressed to me that she wasn't entirely confident in being interviewed in the English language. So did you have any challenges that you had to overcome in terms of experience?
Not really. I had worked in the national media in sports before coming here. So I've got some experience in doing things like this. But as far as our newspaper goes, other than some of the things between ourselves and New York State, as far as international stories like this that are hard news, I mean, yeah, this is kind of groundbreaking for us. But you know, you treat it just like you would any other story, and it was exciting to work on it. And yeah, she was very nervous about it, and we spent probably 4 days polishing it up before it was completely ready to go to print. So we really treated it with kid gloves. But we knew at the time when we were doing it, this is a very different story than what people are used to seeing in a newspaper. We have a reputation here in the Ottawa area of being a little bit, I wouldn't say reckless, but certainly fearless. And the OCNA, the Ontario Community Newspaper Association, we do three newspapers out of our office, and two of the newspapers in 2006 were named in the top three in Ontario. So the quality is there, and you know, but again, I think this is one of the best stories we've ever had in our paper, and it's not the fact that we're that good. It's just the fact that this amazing story was able to fall right into our laps, and Medina was willing to share this story with us, and you know, we're very privileged to have it.
It's definitely a quality article. That being the case, you mentioned some of the one-sided media coverage that we've been facing here in North America, and also what people are used to in the community. When you published this article, what kind of response did you get?
It's a very polarizing type of article, and we've had incredible praise from some people, and we've had hate mail from others. And one of the local political activists basically wrote us a letter, for example, saying that calling Medina a liar, that she made the whole thing up. I mean, it was a nasty letter, and you know, this woman had visited the area in 2004, and her recollections and the things that she experienced were much different than what Medina was portraying. But again, that to us, that really proved the point as to why we needed to write the article, because people are in denial about this, or people are in the dark. This story is under the radar, and a lot of people wouldn't believe that something like this would actually happen. A lot of people will assume when a tragedy like this happens that, oh, it's just something for oil. This isn't about oil. This is just about one nation trying to take over another nation and wipe its people out so that there's nothing standing in the way. At least that's how this side sees it. And Medina, the one thing that she said that really sticks with me when I talk about the story is that she says, you know, Georgia will say this is a war. She said a war is between an army and an army, but when an army comes in and starts murdering women and children in the middle of the night, that's when it crosses the line and becomes genocide. And that's what her family went through. And she's such a positive, happy, bubbly person, and to know that she had just gone through this on her way here, and you know she had to cut her visit short to go back, but it just makes it that much more remarkable.
So in the end, you found this to be encouraging.
I found it to be a great experience. It was very cathartic for her to be able to tell the story. She really feels like she's doing something about it because she's letting people know about this. Even the fact that you're in Hamilton and we're here in a suburb in Ottawa, that you guys were alerted to this story, tells us that it's being circulated and it's getting out there. Since this story has run, and we sent the story to everybody. We sent it to USA Today and CNN. We sent it to Canadian national media. We contacted the local daily papers here. None of them wanted to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And it's a shame because, again, people are very, you know, they don't want to break new ground and be a little bit outside the box. And maybe as a community newspaper, a little bit smaller, we're not working within the parameters that they're confined to. So it was overall a really good experience. And you know, the fact that people are talking about this, it's on blogs. It's been copied and pasted all over the place. And actually, this week, our newspaper in Moscow is translating the article into Russian, and they're running it in Moscow in a newspaper, and then they're doing an interview with us talking about why we did the story and what kind of reaction, and they're very very happy that a newspaper in Canada's capital would kind of take a stand and not necessarily side with them, but certainly tell a story that is not being told over here.
Well, I've got to agree with you. I may have special interest myself as a radio host here at CFMU at McMaster, but it seems to me that your publishing this story just continues to show the importance of having independent media and small media and local community newspapers all over Canada so that we can break the stories and reach the stories and people that aren't necessarily being heard in some of the larger outlets.
We consider it, well, this is a family business. I'm third generation in the newspaper business, and I left to work in professional sports in the U.S. and then came back when my father passed away. But the one thing he'd always told me is that, you know, running a newspaper is a privilege, and treat it like it's a privilege because there's, if we don't have integrity and truth in our culture and society, then you have nothing. And as a community newspaper, and this isn't just in our community, it's in any community, regardless of where you live, your community newspaper is a real vortex to connecting you to what's going on, and you need to treat it with respect. And we are so honored and thrilled that this story kind of fell into our laps like this, because it is really an incredible thing that she was willing to share this. And again, you know, when you talk about credibility, she's not just somebody that happens to be from there who's visiting. I mean, she's working on her PhD, she's a journalist, and she was also South Ossetia's Woman of the Year for the year 2006 for her work in Germany and letting people know about the Ossetian culture and language. So there's a lot of credibility with what she's saying, and again, we're just honored to have had this.
Certainly, I think that this kind of coverage is very valuable, and really, it's a privilege to speak with you and bring this discussion onto our program. So I want to thank you very much for being on our show today.
Well, thanks, Brendan. I really appreciate it, and hope the Marauders can win the Vanier Cup this year.
We're all hoping for it.